Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. Good to be back on one more time. So we're going to go ahead and into the word, open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to be able to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, it's another week's journey. And the songwriter said, I'm so glad about it. Amen.
Yeah.
God brought us through another week's journey. And as we're studying the book of Acts, we're looking at some of the history of the first century church. And some of the what they are, when you're studying the Word of God, that Paul did, he went on missionary journeys. He went on these journeys, and you know the thing that I'm learning down through the years is that we have journeys that we go through, and different ones. And life is a journey, and journey is not a short thing, but it's a prolonged thing, and different things happen along the way. And so Paul had three missionary journeys where he went and did certain things under the Holy Spirit. And he encountered certain people and certain things along the way. And so along our journey, and all of us have missions and co-missions and life that we live, the main thing that we learned from Paul and his companions were that they didn't get tired in the journey. They didn't get too weary in the journey that they didn't finish, that they didn't complete. And that was one of the questions we asked last week was, has God ever came through for you? And all of our listeners, you know, say that God definitely came through for them. And that's what we have to do as we go along our journey to understand that there's going to be some challenges in the way. There's going to be some ups, some downs. There are going to be some things that will cause you to feel like, you know, it's not worth it. But in the end, when we realize that life is a journey and we're all on a journey, we can celebrate and take courage and take solace that we can get through and we can make it. And on that last time we were together, we were looking at Paul when he was saying that I kept the faith, I fought a good fight, and I completed my journey. I competed with my work, and I kept the faith. And we just wanted to continue that this week, as we see so many disturbing figures and things in the news concerning people of color being shot and killed. And, you know, sometimes people get weary in the journey of the same old thing, the same old line, the same old thing that keeps happening time after time. But we have to realize this is a journey. It's a journey, and progress is getting made, but we can't get weary in our missionary journey. Sheila Jim.
Amen. And the key to not getting weary is to keep God first. Because you put God first, then you always feel his presence. So when discouraging things happen or discouraging things happen to you, as long as you know that your hand is in his hand, you may fall down, you may be discouraged, you may feel bad emotionally, but God will be the one to say, okay, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You just hang in there, mm-hmm. follow my directions, and we'll get you through this. But recognizing that the whole time that we're alive and our eyes are open and our hearts are beating, we are going to be on a journey, but we want to be on that journey for the Lord, because Satan's going to want to try to pull us to the off-ramp. And that's what a lot of those things that come before us are for. But if we have put our faith in God and trust in God and draw closer to him, then we can survive that journey no matter what comes our way.
Amen. Amen. It's so true that to rely on God. And Dr. G, when Christ gave this great commission, he sent the church out in Matthew 28 chapter, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the thing that on our journey, and, you know, as he commissioned the church and sent the church out in our missionary journey, is that he promised that he would be with us always, even into the end of the world. And so I think sometimes when we're on this journey, we have to remind ourselves and remind each other that God said that he's going to be with us always, but he never said, Dr. G, that the road would be easy, Dr. G.
You're right. And that's the thing we have to keep in mind. The Lord is never slack on his promises. And as you said, he never said it was going to be an easy journey. He never said that it was going to be light affliction, but he did promise, lo, I'm with you always,
Hallelujah.
Even in the world. So we have to, as Sheila said, stay focused and keep that in mind that, you know, we're going to have our ups and downs, but through it all, we can hang in there, we can make it through.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so when you look at the crazy stuff that goes on a missionary journey, sometimes you don't have words. Sometimes you shake your head, and I find myself frowning. You know how sometimes you look at stuff and you squint your eyes and you frown your brow up. It's like, what in the world were they thinking about? What's going on? And, you know, it's like on your journey. And my mom used to tell my dad that he had 50 wrinkles in his forehead.
Yep. Yep.
No, it's 40 wrinkles.
40 wrinkles. It was 40 wrinkles.
and so when you're on this missionary journey, you're going to start getting some
40 wrinkles.
I call them battle lines. You're going to start getting some battle lines.
Uh-huh.
Because of the things you go through. And she used to say, uh-oh, here come 40 wrinkles. Because uh-huh. His face will be tuned up. His face would be squinched up because of the stuff that he was finding with his journey, with his family or work or whatever. He would frown up like, what is going on? It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. But Sheila G was able to keep going in spite of the 40 wrinkles. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sheila. I'm laughing over here.
He sure did. And it was – when she said that, in their own way, it was calling the devil out. It was like, okay, I see. You know, you're hitting our emotions. We got the 40 wrinkles. The other thing she used to say, when you wear your knees out from praying, sit on your butt. You know, so it's like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like recognizing that things are going to come our way, challenges are going to come our way, but if you just keep pressing through and trusting God, you're going to get past it. But don't think that just because you believe in God, you aren't going to have problems. No, you will have problems. You will. He comes to kill, steal, destroy. You know, I was looking at 1 Peter 5:8, where it was talking about be sober-minded, because that's mm-hmm. what Satan is just coming to destroy, and you got to be aware that he's there so that you can push back on him, because he will let you there. But if you call him out, you say, all right, I got my 40 wrinkles,
right.
my knees are worn out, I'm going to sit on my butt, but I'm still going to press through.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Acts 14 chapter. And one of the crazy things is when Paul and Barnabas, they ran out of one place, they went to another place. To preach the word in Iconium now, and you know there's folks it's like everywhere you go that want to hear the word, and then there's folks that don't want to hear it, or they want to hear only want to hear it when it's working out for them, when it's doing good for them. And so we're gonna see Paul and Barnabas get kicked out of one place, and then they're gonna go to another place. So I just wanted to pop back up to chapter 14, book of Acts chapter 14. And I want to pick up on verse 4 and read down through verse 8. The people in the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles. Jews, together with their leaders, mistreated them and stoned them. They found out about it, and they fled to Lycaonian cities in Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. So they went through the drama of what was going on in Iconium, but it didn't stop them. They were mistreated, and people wanted to stone them and do all kind of stuff, but that didn't stop them. And we can't allow the emotions of being mistreated to stop us. And so they pick back up in verse 8. It says, in Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. And so in the midst of the challenges of presenting the gospel, what happens is you begin to, on your missionary journey, to see that God wants you to stay focused in the purpose of the plan. And that's the thing of, I say when you get in your emotions, you have to realize, okay, I'm in my emotions, I'm not feeling this, but I have to stay on my mission, my journey, because there is a purpose for it. And sort of like raising your children. Your children, sometimes they pluck your last nerve, Sheila G, as you would say. But when you're raising them, you realize, Lord, have mercy. If I don't stick and raise with these kids, they're going to be in deep trouble. So you continue to pray, to wear your knees out, to have 40 wrinkles, to
yep.
understand there's a purpose in me raising these children, because, Lord have mercy, they have lost their minds. And if I don't stay here, if I don't stick it out, they're going to be in bad trouble.
Right. Amen, amen. And that's what it gets passed down from generation to generation. And if we don't pass that on, then they'll start to lose their mind, and their children's children will as well. So we have to set that example about, yes, we're gonna. They'll see us in our emotions. I remember Aaron used to always talk about when I would get them out in the morning, trying to get all the kids out in the morning, and if somebody would act up, I would literally, you know, be hollering, screaming, fussing at them. But before we would leave, I would make sure that we'd had mm-hmm. a word of prayer. And then I would say, have a good day. Love you. And he said it used to drive him crazy as a child, because he's like, you just laid our souls to rest. We'll have us pray and then say, love you, have a good day. And as an adult, now that he's older, he kind of understands it. But he said it made no sense. But I, as like you said, as a parent, knew that, yes, I had to discipline them. Yes, I had to. And, yes, I was so tied up in my emotions. I didn't want to leave that day and something happened and not get back to them and that be the last thing that they knew. But, like you said, by doing that, that taught them that, yes, we can get upset. Yep, yes, we can get emotional, but we got to refocus and put God first and move on. So, yes, as a child, he didn't get it, and he used to think it was the craziest thing. But
right,
now
right.
as they're older, it's like, okay, and they can pass that on to their own children.
Amen, amen. And, Dr. G, it's like pastoring. It's like sometimes the sheep can go astray. And you're like, oh, my God, how many times they going to go over there and bump their head? you have to continue to love them and guide them to get them to come back and to talk to them because they can go astray so easily, but you don't leave the sheep. You stay in and you hang in there with them because you know they need the pastor. They need the leader. And so, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they could have got led astray, but they understood that how important the ministry was. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking, and that's, it shows us the importance of the leader really being fully committed to his job and the fact that Paul had grown in the body of Christ, so he understood that it wasn't about him, it wasn't about their emotions, it was about doing the work of the Lord. And yes, you know, as humans, we all get worn out and get worn down, but if we have made up in our minds that we're not going to let anything mm-hmm. stop us, then that gives us that go ahead, that get up and go.
Yeah.
It might be rough, but there's a purpose behind what we're going through.
That is so powerful. It's like, you know, you look back over the years, how many years you've been preaching or how many years you've been pastor or ministering, and it always seems like just when you're at your tired, that's the word, but you're tired. Most tired point that God gives you an infusion and gives you some insights that, yeah, you're tired, but this is what I need you to do and this is why. And you're like, okay. And you get
Amen.
The strength to go back on. And so
Amen.
In this chapter 14, verse 8, it says, enlisted there a man, sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they're ready to say, man, he's so crazy. We preaching this good news, tell them how to be saved, and they don't want to hear it. I quit, but they didn't quit. God showed them that there was still a need. And so
mm-hmm.
in verse 9, he said he listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw he had faith to be healed. In other words, the focus got back on ministry. The focus got back on the things of God. The focus got back on the things that were important. And that's what we have to do. Is understand that we can't lose focus. We
right.
We can't get distracted. We can't get in our emotions and forget about what the plan is, because, you know, that's the trick of the enemy to get us to stop doing the will of Christ, stop carrying out the Great Commission or the journey that we're on. And so what happens is if you get in your feelings, you get in your emotions, you lose sight of what you're supposed to be doing, and you forget that God said, I'll be with you always. He never promised it was going to be easy. They could have missed this fella that
right.
was lame from birth. They could have missed him that he was listening. They could have missed that he had faith to be healed. And so what God would do is he'll show you, yeah, you need to focus on the things of God, because there are people that do need ministry, that do have faith, that do want to be healed. And don't get so caught up in the folks and the things that aren't listening right now, or the things that aren't going right now. Focus on what I need you to do, and carry it out. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, that's kind of what I was talking about this Sunday. I gave the church the blueprint that God had given me years ago
mm-hmm.
to how to handle things when things were crazy. You know, it was like how to have peace of mind during chaotic times. And basically, it's like calm down, like you said, as far as emotions go. And then it was to cheer up and get yourself together and move on. And that's kind of what's going on here as well, that they had to just refocus on what they needed to refocus on.
Amen. Amen. It's important to be able to get that moment to refocus. And, you know, it's easy to get going once you get going. But like you're saying with the children, you know, you get them going in the morning and they're off the chain and you're doing this and you're doing that. But take that moment
right.
to refocus and say, all right, I know God's going to work this thing out, but I need to do is refocus everybody. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we're going to get out of here. I can't stay here focusing on every day. I tell this young man, put your shoes where you can find them in the morning. And every morning it's like, I can't find my shoes. Like,
Or they get each other, right?
right. But you can't do that. And Dr. G, I'm sure there's been time in your ministry where you've had to reiterate and go over stuff for the umpteenth time. And you're like, okay, I know I said this, I know this, but I can't get out of my character. I'm going to say it again, one more again, as they say, one more time, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, because as a pastor, as a leader, dealing with folk in your church, and I found that sometimes you have to pull back, you catch your breath, and what I do, I pray, Lord, I and then, Lord, you see that they're not listening. So how do you want me to approach it this time? And I found that the Lord will give you different methods or ways. I mean, that there are times where, just give you an example, when time for a church meeting. Now, I usually try to have the church meeting. I wanted to have it in January. I start in October, letting folks know I need your reports, because I know that they're not going to give them to me until the end of the year or beginning of January. But rather than get mad, I just keep them and keep in for I need the reports. And, you know, it gets to a point that, yes, you would think, okay, you're talking with grown folk, but you can't get mad. Yes, we understand. Everybody's got life, and so you have to laugh about it, but you have to keep in mind that they're human also. So as a leader, I've got to pull back, and I got to remember who and what I'm dealing with. And I find that the Lord will help me to reiterate in different ways as to what we need.
Amen.
It's so important. It's so important. And you know, that's just the way God is with us. He allows us sometimes, Sheila G, to bump our head.
Right. Yep.
Did you get it that time?
Can you hear me now?
That thing gonna hurt. Oh, he did it that time. Oh my gosh. And then when you finally get it, it's like, okay.
Right.
But you have to continue to be steadfast and unmovable and continue to abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so here's this fella that they ran into. And he said, and I'm reading the NIV, he had faith to be healed.
Right.
And called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk.
Amen.
It's like God will let you know that your labor is not in vain. He'll let you know, just when you think ain't nobody listening, don't nobody want to hear the word, folks lost their mind, they think this, they that, you know, I'm just going to take my Bible and go home and sit down, the heck with y'all. And just when you're at that point, God will show you somebody, Lord have mercy, that really needs to hear the gospel, and their response to the gospel will give you encouragement to keep doing what you're doing. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were saying that, I was thinking about how as pastors, especially as pastors and leaders, that you do have to stand boldly on the word, even when it's not popular. And but once you do that, God reveals later what the blessing is. And I remember at New Birth years ago when we first got there, And they have it in their constitution, and I've shared this story before, that they did not believe in women preachers, and they did not believe in women in the pulpit. And pastor, one Sunday, first, he had one service. Not only did he have a woman that stand and presided from the pulpit, but he also had a woman, and they were members of the church that had been there a long time, that when he did that, got up and walked out in service.
Ooh.
But had he not stood on that, then the word of God, because now we have more than one woman minister. Ma was there as a minister before she passed on. So God's word wouldn't have gotten out to encourage other people. So by taking that stand, you know, the whole in season and out of season, that and suffering for God's sake of members, and these are like tithes of members, members been there forever, literally getting up and walking out. If he had yielded to them, God's word wouldn't have gotten out. And then as like Minister Polly Henry and Ma started coming, seasoned women started preaching and feeding us, it was a word that needed to get out. The church grew spiritually and grew in that love. But at the time he made took that stand and stood on God's word, it was not a popular thing to do. But years down, as you see, it opened the door for God's word to go out and touch people that needed to be touched.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and to go along with that, if I hadn't taken some of the stands that I did, the church would not be what it is today. That church was so much into their own little ways, their traditions, what they believed, and supposedly according to the word. But when God wants to come in and do a new thing, it's, you know, people are not going to adapt to it. And I mean, they fought me tooth and nail, but when I look back now, and you know, the Lord either removed them through death, some of them left, he sent other folk, and to see where we are right now, that was a blessing from God.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, back to that 14th chapter and that 8th verse, and that 9th verse and the 10th verse, that steadfastness, someone and they were healed, and they were the miraculous signs of God manifest because they stayed focused, they stayed on one accord, just like in the beginning of Acts, you know, they were in one place on one accord, and they were focused on what God wanted them to do, and the Holy Spirit blessed. Here in chapter 14, they're still focused and still on one accord, and the Holy Spirit is still blessing. And the fella got up, and he had faith to be healed, and he stood on his feet and jumped and began to walk. And so what happens is the miraculous and the healing for those who have faith is still available. And so faith comes by hearing.
All right.
And hearing by the word of God. And so we have to continue to preach and teach and demonstrate and live out the word of God in front of people, because they will see this. And if they have faith, they can be healed. They can be delivered. They can be saved. And it's so important for us to stay on that journey, because if we don't, there are people that or along our way or along our life's journey that won't get the word.
G. Amen. And that's what I was specifically referring to in that case, because there was words that were delivered by Minister Henry and Mom that were able to state to the young people and the women that not necessarily would have been related, and to help those people to draw closer and give their life to Christ, because you're shutting down that part of the ministry. And, you know, even when we read here in chapter 5, it says he listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked and saw that he had faith. So that word God will use whoever, whatever, as a vessel to get his word out. And when we try to regulate God based off what we believe in our mind, then we won't be able to get God's word out to reach the people for them to get that faith, to give their life to Christ, and have those miracles in their own lives.
Amen, amen. And so, you know, you have that dynamic, and like we were talking about the various things of our parents or when we become parents or ministers or pastors, you know, in the midst of that moment where God does the miraculous, where God heals, where God blesses, in the midst of that dynamic, there's still other things that are going on. And that's the thing that I hear the term people say, we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
It's like, you have to be able to multitask. You have to be able to understand that I can't get bogged down on this. And too many times people get bogged down on one thing and then leave the other undone. And so Paul and Barnabas, they were doing this, but at the same time, there's people that were watching, and they were getting it twisted.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my gosh. It's like someone's getting saved, someone's being healed, someone's the miraculous happened, and then you have a group of people that are in the same place or in the same building that they got an attitude or they're getting things, taking things out of context. And you're like, oh, my gosh, how can this be going on at the same time? Somebody being healed, somebody being saved, somebody being delivered, somebody being blessed. And at the same time, folk over here, they're not seeing it that you know, heaven rejoices over one soul that is saved. They're over here talking about, Well, the choir didn't do this, and the music minister didn't do this, and the usher didn't say this, and pastor didn't. And I'm like, oh, my God. Can we handle the dynamic that this miracle, this blessing just happened, and we need to go this way, and they're pulling to go another way? Let's look at verse 11 to see how this dynamic is happening at the same time. So the fella got up and jumped and walked, right? But in verse 11, you went from verse 10 where he jumped up and walked. The miraculous happened. Had faith. He was healed. And at the same time, in verse 11, it says, when the crowd saw that Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the human form. So, oh, my God. They missed it. They missed it. And it says Barnabas, they call Zeus. And Paul, they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought his bulls and wreaths at the city gate because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. So they missed the whole point, Dr. G. Now they're calling Paul and Barnabas these Greek gods and they're making sacrifices to Paul and to Barnabas. And a lot of times, I'm not saying it's every preacher, but they make the preacher out to be the god. It's like instead of giving God the glory and the preacher pointing to God, now he getting swole up. The people are not focused on what God can do. They're focused on what the preacher can do. And so now the preacher becomes the king. The pastor becomes the king because the people think that the power is in the pastor and not the God that the pastor is pointing to is the power to be able to do all these things. So you got this great big dynamic that you got to deal with on a regular. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you hit it. And the thing that really gets to me, because now, especially where we are in this day and time, a lot of the Baptist pastors, you know, they're becoming bishops. And I see so much of this stuff. I go on Facebook, you know, the bishop this, bishop that. And you're right. You know, when things are happening, people are being blessed, they want to attribute it to what the bishop did. Look, the bishop has to take his instructions from the same God that we do.
Come on, man.
They get caught up. And it really irritates me because I see a lot of them, they're not so much concerned about the message or the ministry. It's all about becoming a bishop, a title. And they have these little places where they go, and everything is bishop this, bishop that, his grace. All that junk needs to be thrown out. It's about giving God his. Whether you have a bishop title, a pastor, a doctor, or whatever, it's about doing what the Lord wants. And too many times these preachers, bishops, or whatever, we get caught up in these titles. And that's one of the reasons I have never desired to become a bishop. Look, I'm good where I am. Lord did not tell me to elevate myself. So if you receive anything from me, give it to the Lord.
Amen. 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 Sheila G., help me out of here.
Well, it just shows a lack of faith. You know, the man that was lame, when he told them about God, his faith is what helped him to stand up and walk. And it wasn't his faith in Paul and Barnabas. It was he was believing what Paul and Barnabas
said. Amen.
They were pointing to God, and that's why he was able to get up and walk out of his faith. That's where we're able to get through things, because of our faith in God. And here come these people, missed the point. They just saw the man walk, and that's why we have to put everything in context, because people will take it out of context, and then the next thing you know, it's like they're putting me, they're taking a little bit of God's word, and then they're putting me, myself, and I in it, and just totally mess it up. And that's what happened when I was talking about with the whole women preachers thing. It's like they took a little bit of what Paul was saying, women need to be silent in the church, added this and added that and added that, so they made a decision that there should be no women preaching, no women in the pulpit, nobody giving God's word, but you missed the point. It's not about the person that's delivering God's word. It's about God's word getting delivered through whatever means necessary, walking in faith, not by sight, because they just took it by sight. They saw the man stand up and walk like, oh, they must be the gods, and not realizing it was the man's faith that helped him to walk, his faith and belief in God.
Amen. Amen. And it was God that healed him.
Right.
it's a thing that you have to be careful, because like I said, it's dynamic. The journey, it's like so many things can happen or are happening on the journey, and it's happening at the same time. And so you have to be careful on how you conduct yourself. You have to be careful to realize that you can get persuaded and still distracted, even in the midst of the blessings, in the midst of the miracles that God performs, and people are being healed and the blessings are coming down, that some people will take it the wrong way. And if you're not careful, you and they can get, caught and end up having all your good be evil. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. And so
right.
it's a careful journey. You have to be careful along this journey. It's not an easy journey. It's a careful journey. You have to be focused and understand that God is the one that's doing the work, and that it is God is the one that should get the glory. And when you can do that, you can stay focused, you can stay humble and focused, then you can experience the manifold blessings of God, even in the midst of the chaos that happens along the journey. And I just want to read those verses in the King James Version. And beginning at verse 8, and it says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, steadfast beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, there with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconian, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief priest." And in verse 13, he said, "Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So they had different priests that are different idol gods at that time. And so the idol god of Jupiter, he came down, and now he's going to worship a man. It's sort of like the golden calf in the time of Moses. It's like,
right,
they're going to take earrings and jewelry and make this golden calf. And so they're going to worship a calf or an idol that they made. It's like,
right,
it just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so when people get distracted from the word of God, it doesn't make sense. But to them, it makes sense. And that's what's going on in this world today. When people get made up in their mind, even that the big lie or the crazy things that they do is the truth, it's hard to pull them off. It's like they're focused in on what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. And you have to be careful of that, because people will follow that crazy stuff. And next thing you know, you'll be going to worship or going to church, but not worshiping God, but you'll be worshiping the people that are in the church, or worshiping a building, or worshiping a pastor, or worshiping a bishop instead of worshiping God. And you'll miss your blessing. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And that's why we have to stay alert. We have to, as they say, stay woke, because Satan is trying. That's the trick of the enemy. He attacks our flesh. The scripture that I was talking about earlier that I was studying today from 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So if you are not alert, if you're not focused, and all these things that happen, the enemy will come in and it will devour you. And so you have to stay alert in God's word, because you'll believe the big lie, and the next thing you know, you're so caught up in it that it's hard to be pulled out. And that's what was happening here. And that's why we have to be sober-minded and we have to be alert.
Amen, amen. Let's continue with verse 14. And it says, which when Paul and Barnabas and Paul, when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran in among people crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that are therein." And I'm going to read it in the verse in the NIV. It says that when Paul and Barnabas heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it." Verse 16, "In the past he let all nations go their own way, yet has not himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Like you said, Sheila, it's like they're telling them, we're human just like you. Turn to the God that created the heavens and earth and gave you rain and all these things and had grace upon you. And Paul and Barnabas, we're just human just like you. And even though they were telling them the truth, they had problems with them still wanting to believe in man and still wanting to do it man's way. And that is the challenge. Stay on the journey, even when people won't listen to sound doctrine. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, I think you and Sheila said a mouthful, because I was just sitting here thinking. And that's because, you know, really we don't know enough of the word. We don't know enough about the Lord so that it's easier to accept the lie, believe the lie, because it's easier. You know, when you start talking, and the thing about Paul, that, you know, they weren't taking credit for what they had done. that they right. were pointing to the God above. But because it was easier to attribute this to them, that's why these knuckleheads did it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same old junk
yeah.
that we have mm-hmm. to deal with today.
Yeah.
And if people were serious, number one, they're not serious about their walk with the Lord. I was just sitting here thinking about this whole pandemic. Over a year, we've had to be out of our churches. And in the mm-hmm. midst of that year, I can tell you the ones that are serious because they call each week, they call in the prayer service. Mm-hmm. Some of them even gotten to the point where they're calling in the Bible study. But there are some that maybe have called in once or twice in the course mm-hmm. of a year. I mean, it's easier to find stuff to do on Sunday now that you don't have to get up, put clothes on, mm-hmm. go to the building where we worship the Lord. So, you know, they're just not for real. And the Lord is revealing all of this mm-hmm. mess back in Paul's day as well as where we are today. People are just not serious about their walk in Christ. But it's easy to believe the lie.
Amen. Amen. And they had difficulty trying to keep them from doing this, from turning to man. And that's, I think, a challenge is to realize that man will let you down every time. It's like man is imperfect. Man has imperfectness in his DNA. And the challenge is to continue to point the way to God, point the way to the one who created the heaven and the earth. And this is what Paul and Barnabas did, and we'll finish up verses 19 and 20. It says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. So here's another part of ministry, another dynamic. Then here comes another group. So you got a group of folks that are being blessed and demonstrating their faith and God is blessing. Then you got folks that are worshiping for the wrong reason.
Uh-huh.
And now Sheila G, in the midst of that dynamic, here comes folks that after they saw the miracle, they want to stone the preacher.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over, stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. What is going on, Sheila G? Help me out.
It's what you said, that they were believing in man and human instead of believing in God, and they were so stubborn that when they were pointing, no, it's not us, they stated the case, they laid it out, but it's like, now, where you have the part in politics, the party of no, where it's just like, I'm just going to say no for the sake of saying no, whether or not it makes sense. I'm going to say that, well, no, the policeman didn't kill him, whether you know, you see it for yourself.
Your own eyes. Don't believe your lying eyes. Right.
They don't believe your lying eyes because this is what I want it to be. So, no, I don't care what you're saying. You need to say it, and you need to do it the way I want to do it. And they stayed consistent with the Lord because they knew that if they fell for the okie doke like they did, the choice was follow man or follow God. And they were like, even if I get stoned, if I die, I'm going to follow God. Because if I follow what man wants, one day you're going to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the next day you're going to say, crucify me. So I would rather get into good trouble and be wrong for right's sake, wrong in your eyes for right's sake in God's eyes. But it's just like, no, you will do it my way, whether it makes sense or not.
So Dr. G, it's like in the life of Paul and Barnabas, in the life of ministry, how do you go from the miracles and the blessing, the folk turning and worshiping the preacher, and then when they're worshiping the preacher, Then he's telling them, don't worship me. Now they're ready to kill him.
Amen.
It's like Sheila G said, you know, you went from Hosanna to crucify him all in the same week. And this is what I tell people about this, you know, when we started off today's Bible study. Thank God for the journey. But in the midst of the journey, all the things that have happened this week, all the things that happen in our daily lives, on our jobs, on our traveling, on the news and the things that are happening in Minneapolis and things that happen all over the country. It's so much dynamic that it's happening, but the thing is to stay focused on your journey. And so in verse 20, this is what they did. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left Derbe. But they got up and continued what they had to do, Dr. G. So in the midst of all of this, and that's going to be the question we're going to ask tonight, in the midst of all of this, we still got to stand back up and do what we got to do. Dr. G.
Amen. And that shows us as leaders, as serious, committed folk for the Lord, we can't let that junk deter us. That's why, you know, what was it, Romans 12 said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that has to happen daily, because if we don't, the junk that will come down through
ministry
is enough to cause some folk to turn around and go back. So that's why it's important. Here we go again. To stay prayed up and to stay in that word, because the enemy knows, and right now, with all that's going on, he is throwing everything at us that he possibly can to get us off course. But we have to stay the course, just like Paul and Barnabas.
Amen, amen. So we're going to go to the phone line, ask the question. The importance of staying, of course, staying in the word in the midst of the dynamics of life. It's laid out in the word. You see the missionary journey. You got blessings and craziness going on at the same time. So how do you handle the blessings? Let me change the question. How do you handle the blessings and the craziness that are going on at the same time? Call it. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The only answer is prayer. Just ask God to help you every day. Just pray and ask God to help you to walk in his will, be committed to his will, and to show you what he wants you to do. And give you the strength to do it. And it's so crucial that we have saints, that we have each other, that we continue to study that word, continue to pray with one another, continue to encourage one another and build one another up. And that, so when we do get weary, when we do get tired and we get off track, that we can get some help. And so this journey is not for us to be by ourselves, trying to do it by ourselves, but we need each other, because there is strength in unity. We need the church body. We need the fellowship. We need the prayers of each other. And this is what going to get us through when we rely on one another to help us. And of course, we know that we need Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but we need each other to get us through.
Amen.
So when I have these crazy days, you know, I have someone that can help me, you know, talk to me, because sometimes, you know, we have that tunnel vision, no, we can't see, you know, the forest, trees. We just
gotta pull you back, pull you back from the edge, right?
That's right. You know, we're in our emotions and we're in our feelings, and you know. And we just need someone to talk to us, and then we have to ask God to give us that listening ear.
Amen.
And sometimes just be quiet so we can hear what people are saying and take in what they're saying and meditate on it. And God sends us, he sends people in our life. You know, the world like a whole lot of people. They like to be popular. But God don't send you a lot of people. He might send you one or two persons
mm-hmm.
that you can depend on that will help you get through this journey. Jesus could have had as many people as he wanted to, but he only had 12. And even in his inner circle, he didn't have
Come on, preacher.
Okay?
Come on, preacher.
And so we have to ask God, Lord, show me what you want me to do and help me to do your will because I can't do it on my own. I need you to help me. And then when we do something, then keep me humble, keep me meek, help me to focus mm-hmm. on what you want me to do and not what man want me to do. Because sometimes we get caught up in pleasing man. And mm-hmm. because what we are doing for the Lord sometimes don't seem right or look popular to the world, then we think we're on the wrong path.
Amen.
Right, right.
But we're not gonna be popular people. We're not gonna be well loved all the time, cause the truth hurts, and it even hurt me when I'm wrong. So, mm-hmm. so I'm gonna be honest with you. That word convict, no matter who it is.
That's right.
And so, the more you get into that word, the more the word is gonna help you. But you need prayer, you need Bible study. You need preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You need all mm-hmm. of it, everything to keep you going. You need the saints. We need it all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Line 4, digit 6309. 6309, your name.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I see it's this phone. I try to put it on unmute because I don't want have no muted comment, and I had to put it back like I had it. So I just want to give all honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be on this line. And for me, it's my faith and my belief in God. And you got to want this. And if you want it, you're going to do everything you can to live for God and do what you can because you know things are going to come up and bother you. But I get in my Bible. I have a relationship with him. I just talk to people and do the best I can because I'm not going to let Satan break me down, see, because mm-hmm. God has given me things to fight with, you know, and we got to realize that we got tools just like Reverend just said, Lindsay just said, we got people we can call, we can talk, we can pray, but we need help. But if you want to stay on this journey, you can. Mm-hmm. You won't be moved. You hear me? You won't be moved because you know stuff is coming for you. You know if stuff going to happen. And we got the tools to work with that God has given us so we can maintain ourselves. So I'm just thankful that I have learned over these years not just how to worship God, but you got your faith. You got to believe in him. You got to trust him. And once you do that in these Bible and whatever way, on the phone for Sunday, on the phone for Thursday, on the phone for Wednesday, mm-hmm. get all those tools. And you got your stuff. And you got people you can talk to also. But
Amen.
Like I said, you got to want this. If you want this, you're going to exhaust yourself doing everything you can to stay
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
God's will. You know, so that's what it is for me. And thank you all for listening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343. 3343. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Well, I started out being hard hit, and I was, and the God had threw me a line, and he put a block on me and tried me to make me to listen, and I didn't. I was hard hit as was always be, not listen. And he said, "Well, okay, well then, if you don't want to listen, God said, well, I'll just step out and let you keep on stepping what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, you're gonna have to stop. And if you don't stop, then I'll let you alone." And he did. He stepped out. And I went to that wall and hit that wall, and my eyes went everywhere. But Lord knows that he got me on the road right now. But I don't have to even put his foot out there and trip me because I walk real steady. And I keep my eyes open and keep my ears open. and I don't have to worry about me going to somebody else. I got my words now. I don't have to follow nobody else but me. But good God, and I'm on my road all the way, every day. Thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next 8760. You're on the air. All right, must be listening there. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0072. 0072, you're on air. 0072. All right, we're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, could you repeat their question again?
Yeah, yeah. How do you make it through when in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on, chaotic world?
I think one of the callers that I touched on it early on, but, you know, you definitely have to stay in God's word and tons of prayer. Not only do you need to pray for yourself daily amongst other things, but you got to have a lot of people praying for you as well. I know for me, you know, I tried to deal with the ups and downs of life by myself. I tried to depend on man, as you guys talked about earlier, and I was constantly let down. I let myself down. I had people I thought I could count on let me down. And then, you know, just like the song says, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus, you know, because I could call on God anytime, any day. I never knew what it meant when people said they had to go to the bathroom or just go hide somewhere at work and just talk to God, because, you know, you have so much going on at work. But, you know, when I started, you know, venturing into the workforce, I realized that you can also call Jesus on your job. You don't got to just call him at nighttime or at church, but you can call God pretty much in any situation. You can call on the Lord. But, you know, I had to learn it the hard way, but nonetheless, I learned it, you know, and I'm still learning and growing in the body of Christ. But, you know, it's very important that you have those foundational things in place, because whether we want it or not, whether we're ready for it or not, life is going to happen. Life is going to throw some things at you. Sometimes you'll have some great things happen, and you'll get so high, you'll forget that it was God that helped you get to it. Then you'll have some times that you're so low, and you'll feel like God has forgotten about you or forsaking you. And then a lot of times your mind starts to play tricks on you. The devil starts to plant those seeds like, well, if, you know, if there was a God or God really loved you, he wouldn't allow this to happen, or you accomplished something so great. And like, man, look, you didn't need God. This was 100% you, you know, knowing that all the things you had to go through to get to whatever successful thing you had accomplished in life. So life, good or bad, can really take advantage of you spiritually and mentally if you're not embedded in the body of Christ. But I found that being embedded in the word keeps me humble, you know, and it never lets me get too high, never lets me get too low. I try to stay right somewhere in the middle, because I think when your emotions start to play tricks on you, that's when you start to panic. You have that spiritual anxiety, and then you start to make bad decisions, or you start to try to make sense of things when you're still wrapped up in this flesh. You're still wrapped up in the emotion. But for me, the core things that get me through the highs and through the lows are pretty much the word of God, things that we're doing on Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, and being more focused and paying attention on Sundays. You know, it's more than just showing up and going through the motions, but I actually tell myself, take something from it. Even if it's just one thing that you take this Sunday, that's one more thing that you didn't have prior to this service. So just baby steps for me, but I would definitely say, all in all, if it wasn't for prayer, if it wasn't for staying in God's word, I definitely wouldn't be able to handle the types of adversity that life throws at me daily. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Go to our next caller. Last 4 days is 5236. 5236. You on the air?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening.
So for me, being able to get through in the midst of hard times, is just also, as everybody else said, just praying. A lot of times just leaning on my past victories and just honestly having faith and just knowing that, you know, sometimes it's just a preparation to get you through the next step, and being able to just be in the midst of God and just know that God's with you. And so, you know, I'm grateful to be able to just, you know, on a daily, just kind of take a step back sometimes and just really look at big picture and just understand that sometimes I might not understand, but, you know, I'm still able to just, you know, again, have faith and just really just lean on God.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. Got one more caller, last four digits, 7971. 7971, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a journey like anything that has to be cultivated. You have to nurture your divine spirit. You have to nurture God, your spirit, your love for God. And by walking, talking, living the living word is the best remedy to being in the spirit that you know lives within you. Prayer, having spiritual tools that you practice every day. Practice makes perfect, and we none are perfect. But in the sight of God, He wants your best.
Amen.
And when you give Him your best, when you take time out to pray and use all the tools that He has laid out in His Word for us as Christians to live by, loving their neighbor, simple things that people don't even give a thought about. Affirmative prayer, and prayer is the tool. It keeps you connected with God 24/7, because every time something comes up in your life, what do you say? Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Have mercy, Lord. Help me,
that's
Lord.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How can you call on Him when you haven't served Him, but He still accepts it, and He still loves you.
Amen.
And when He's brought you through all the things that were impossible, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it wasn't for God on my side, on my side, it could not have ever happened.
Amen.
You're rewarded for these things, for your goodness of your heart. Not laying it all up for what I want, and you can't release it and help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
If the world could have been in on Tuesday morning prayer service last Tuesday morning, that's all you needed.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour of corporate prayer, and before we could get off the phone, hallelujah! Didn't you do it? Yes, you did.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. This is what God wants from you. When you can call on Him and He answers, He gives you what He needs, what you need all the time. It makes you feel like, Lord, am I doing something right?
Mm-hmm.
He gives you that assurance that you are doing something right. For Him, you aren't getting, He's going to get the glory.
Amen.
He's going to get the glory. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. And a lot of times, I just pray to thank Him for His goodness. I thank Him all day long. Whatever I do or whatever comes up in my life, my sisters tell me all the time, Bob, why you say thank you? I say, I have so much to be thankful for.
I knew that's right.
How will He know if you don't tell him.
That's right.
If you never open your mouth to thank God for his goodness, it doesn't have to be about you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Look around you. I am so hurt about this young man being shot. I can't even visualize if something would have happened to Sheila or Anthony or Jamie or any of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
God protect our kids. Last Sunday was a glorious time in my house. I had my nephew from Atlanta in my house. I had my nephew, who is my pastor, in my house, worshiping together from generation to generation. It's in this glorious book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus. Our bloodline. God has blessed us. And it has, I can't describe it. And we are left here to pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
Pass it on. For my dear little Sheila to call me this day and say, I'm just calling to see how you're doing.
Amen.
Only through God, prayer, and believing and trusting in God. And when you trust him and you know what he can do and you try to live as close, and people say, well, you try to put yourself on a pedestal. God put me on the pedestal.
Hmm.
He's begging us to do what's right. Stop having to go back and say, I'm sorry, God. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Love it. Live it. I'm tired of trouble. I'm sick of trouble. I want to pray. When I pray, I want some answers.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be kicked to the curb all the time and waiting. Lord, it's me again. I heard my mama say it so many times. It's me again, Lord. I'm in the need of prayer. I'm in the need of prayer. He says, whatever you ask, ask in my name. And if you could have been on that prayer line, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have tears are coming out of my eyes, y'all. Y'all just don't know.
Amen. Amen.
These two little churches, they got put together, and my girlfriend, she told me when Pastor opened the church, she said, Vaughn, God may not have wanted your church to be a big church. Don't you know little churches are more powerful than big ones?
Amen.
Amen.
Because they reach out and they do, and they serve the Lord. They don't serve man. Ain't nobody worrying about this and worrying about that. But you are there, and you see good spiritual results, and that's why you have to nurture your divine spirit. And I call our prayer circle a sacred circle. And a circle has no end.
That's right.
It's sacred. God is in there, and he's moving. He is moving. We are seeing healing. We are seeing blessings.
Amen.
We are seeing things that people doubt. The song said, no doubt. God said, it's for real. He is for real. Lord, don't get me started, but I'm here to say we are children of God. We need to act like it 24/7.
That's right.
We need to treat each other right. We need to respect each other. We need to love each other and never stop praying. Never stop glorifying God for who he is, because he loves us. And we're supposed to have the same agape love and share it and live it with, not with our children and people that we know, but reach out and touch somebody else. Reach out and touch somebody else. God is a good God. And if we continue to do what we search out, go to church, go to Bible study, go to prayer service, reach out and touch your neighbor, pray for them, pray for anybody. You may not know them, but as Reverend Lindsay always says, mankind everywhere. That comes the whole universe. We need to change the attitude and practice with the spiritual tools that God has laid out in this Holy Bible for us to live by. And if we do that for him, you don't have to worry about what he's going to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's already done it. He's already done it. Tawana sent me a song I'd never heard the other day. Been playing it all week. Lord have mercy. I sent it to my daughter. I passed it on because it gives you the kind of peace and love to let you know God loves us in spite of. Woke me up. I said, who is this calling me? Look at me. And I looked at it, I said, what the Tawana want? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody was praying for me. Somebody was had me on their mind. Took a little time. Take a little time out of your business schedule and touch someone. That's what it's all about. And that's what pleases God's heart. That's what pleases. We are taught that every week. We go to the filling station on Sunday. We go to the filling station on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning, on Thursday evening, and back again on Sunday. We should be well filled up with the spirit that God wants us to have to live and associate yourself with God's people, so that we can go out and touch someone that needs what we have. That, and we can't say we don't have the tools. We can't say that we aren't being taught. It's a mean world we're living in. And we've got to stop making excuses. Well, it didn't mean it, don't do it. As my little nephew said, don't get Aunt Vi started. But that's just how I felt today, because for the last 2 weeks, some horrible things have happened to our loved ones and our church members, and God has stepped up to the plate and did what he always does. He's got healing hands. He's got the power to do anything, and I am a living testimony. Because I give the praise and the glory every day of my life. And I don't want to ever change my attitude. Because his gratitude is awesome. As my little nephew says, awesome, Abba. God is awesome. We know it. And I thank you guys for being who you are. For the Lord. And you pass on good spiritual advice for us. but we don't have nobody to turn to but God. But he sent a comforter. We know who the comforter is. And that's why we can sit here tonight together in this sacred circle and talk about our Heavenly Father, who is so good to us. I love you guys.
I love you,
all of you. You all be blessed and always keep God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. Sheila G., good Bible study.
Yes.
Some final comments and close us out with prayer, please.
Amen. Let us just continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for another good, awesome Bible study. Lord, I pray that we would take this lesson, hide it in our heart, and use it to regulate our lives. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.